Hello, hello, fearless listeners. Are you ready for another episode of Let Fear Bounce? It's the podcast that's all about conquering challenges and facing our fears. I'm your host, Kim Langling, and each week we'll dive into inspiring stories, expert insights, and practical tips to help you turn your fear into your greatest ally. So sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and let's discover how to make fear our bouncing board towards a life filled with endless possibilities right here on Let Fear Bounce. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Let Fear Bounce. This is your host, Kim Langling, and I am so happy that you are deciding to spend just a small part of your day with myself today and my special guest today, Kathy Nesbitt. She is not only a health and wellness advocate, but she is the founder of Kathy's Crawly Composters. Now, say that fast three times. I can't do it. I tried, believe me. Kathy's Sprouters and Kathy's Laughter Club. She is a multi-award-winning innovator who uses workshops and inspirational speaking to motivate people to live a more sustainable life. Now, folks, the main thing, at least that caught my attention with her and all of the amazing things that she does, is she's all about worms. And she knows, I think, way more about worms than anybody I've ever met. And I was so fascinated. I was telling her before I hit record that worms have always fascinated me, and I can't wait to dig into this conversation. So Kathy, welcome to Let Fear Bounce.
Kim, I'm so excited. I can't wait to dig into worms.
I got my little shovel ready. Let's dig in, shall we? How did you get interested to be on this path that you're on, this journey that you're on in life with worms? And I know that you do all kinds of public speaking. You've had a TED talk on this topic. You've also teach kids. You have events that you run and workshops that you run all around that same theme. So how did you get into that?
Great starter question, Kim. So it's the 22nd anniversary of Kathy's Crawly Composters.
Well, fantastic.
Thank you. I know, right?
Yes. That's awesome.
And so this is relevant, especially for where you're located in the States and where I'm located in Canada. So I'm in Ontario, just north of Toronto, largest city in Canada. In 2002, our landfill closed and we started to export our garbage to the US. 1,000 trucks a week. Wow.
I did not know that.
Most people don't. Most people don't. We don't know all these things about how things operate. Mm-hmm. They, you know, things just function. We don't know. We only know our industry or where we are. And I had a solution. I don't have business background. I do now, 22 years in. Still standing. I guess I'm doing something okay. Okay, so I had a solution. And I think that's what it makes an entrepreneur anyway, is having a solution and you set forth. And when you love what you do, the money comes, as they say. And that's the truth. And when you love what you do, work is like labor is love, like, you know, that it just becomes your life. And that's my life. And so I set forth in Toronto, 6 million people, half live in condos and townhouses without space to do outdoor composting. And so I was like, oh, this is indoor composting with worms. Worms in the house. How beautiful. Like, it's perfect, especially in Canada and parts of the States where we have winter. And, you know, you might not want to schlep out to the back 40 to dump the compost out there. So this is indoor. So it's a beautiful thing for when it's where it's too hot or where it's too cold or where there's bears. So cottage country.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Even raccoons. Toronto is raccoon nation. So even people in houses might not want to compost outside. Because the raccoons, it's a rack, you know, could be a buffet.
Right. No, I completely understand that. Raccoons still try and get in my garbage cans.
Of course. Yeah. Right. They're so smart. It's just part of the cycle, but you know, we don't necessarily want those creatures in where we live. Right. Okay. So this is indoor composting. And I really had an idea, like, this is so great. And as I started to research the worms, I learned that the red wigglers eat half their weight per day in food scraps. So it is a special worm. They turn what we call garbage, like the organic matter, our food scraps and paper, into black gold so we can grow more nutrient-rich food. We're managing it on site so that we don't need to waste our tax dollars on hauling it around. You know, there are just so many things. And it wasn't, so I started as a waste management tool, and I would have a booth wherever I could have a table. And what I found early on was that people were afraid of worms. that I know it sounds so odd, but not really when you think about childhood in the schoolyard after a rainy day. You know, the worms are out there less now than before, but that's another sad topic. So, you know, maybe on a rainy day, somebody chased them around with a worm, or a sibling, or a fishing incident with a worm. So, if something happened as a child with worms, you're not going to look to that as an adult for a solution. So I have to go, you know, the challenge with the worm business is the worms and people and people's fear of that. And I realized early on, okay, people are afraid. And I started to take on school workshops. That's when I went into schools and started to educate the kids. And I was like, now I just have to wait 20 years till they have buying power. I made it. I made it,
You
Kim.
did. You made
I made it. Careful what you say. I didn't want to have to wait 10 or 20 years till we have a good business.
it.
I didn't know it was fine. I ebbed and flowed, you know, like you do as an entrepreneur. I added things and I did whatever I needed to do to make money, and it all worked. You know, I heard ew, worms in the house so many times. It wasn't until 2012 when one more person said, ew, worms in the house, that I heard it and I felt it and I listened and I questioned everything. And I was about to doff my important mission. Like 10 years in, I was like, I've done what I can. I don't know what to do if people are still not understanding why we need these beautiful worms. Like, get over your fear, because these worms are they're gonna save us. Because in North America, we have destroyed our soil. We grow acres and acres of corn, wheat, and soy. That's not how nature intended. So now we don't have the biodiversity, so we have to add chemicals. But our soil is addicted to chemicals, because the nutrients aren't there. So compost is a way for us to return the nutrients. And I believe it starts on a grassroots. You know, the government is not interested in what's best. They want what the people are asking for. So if we're not asking for this, they're not going to provide it. And that I believe the younger people are ready for this solution.
I agree. And I think a lot of what you're saying, like I had said before we had even before I hit record, I said some of the stuff that you share and teach, I had no idea about. You know,
Yeah,
I've just
thank
always
you.
been fascinated with nature. But
Right.
you know, specific worms, like there's you mentioned the red wiggly worm. Everything is very hard to say. Kathy's crawly composters and the red wiggly worm. But I didn't know there were specific worms that were better for composting. And an indoor composter, share about what that looks like, or is that something you can make on your own?
Yes, absolutely. So, no special equipment is required. I'll just talk about composting for a second for anyone that's listening
Sure.
that might not know. So, composting is nature's way that turns organic matter, so our food scraps and our weeds from the garden and grass clippings, that kind of material, naturally into humus or fertilizer that we then just add back in the garden. This is the same idea as outdoor composting done inside with worms. And there are thousands of types of worms. Only four have been identified as optimum. We're looking for surface dwellers. We're not looking for the night crawlers, the Canadian night crawlers that live, or the dew worms that live below the frost line. So any container will do for the do-it-yourselfers. A Rubbermaid container, or you know, some kind of a tote is perfect. If people are space challenged, I say get a container for the space that you want to put it, because it's not the container, it's not the system, although there are systems, and I'll talk about that. You need a carbon nitrogen mix. So the carbon or the bedding is shredded paper for indoor, because you might not have access to leaves or straw. So drink trays, egg cartons, cardboard boxes, these are all great materials for composting for the bedding. You need a little bit of soil. And then the food scraps are the nitrogen. So that's the nitrogen part. So it's your scraps from the kitchen. And I would say your prep scraps, not your plate scrapings.
Oh,
Because,
good distinction.
yeah, your plate scrapings will have the salad dressing,
Right.
residue or salt, vinegar, that kind of thing that would be harmful to the worms.
Okay, good distinction. What about eggshells?
And you need them, yes. So the worms require the calcium for reproduction, and the eggshells help to balance the pH in the system. So a
Okay.
lot of the scraps that we're adding in, the coffee grounds, a lot of the materials are going to be acidic. So this helps to balance the pH in the system. So the worms don't eat the eggshells. You can crush them up, you can pulverize them. It doesn't matter. They don't get cut. They have very strong bodies. So unlike slugs, some people might have heard that you can put slug or slugs, you can put slugs in your garden so they eat your lettuce and your hostas. No, don't do that. You can put eggshells in your around your plants, your tender greens, and the slugs then when they're single-bodied creatures, so when they go over the eggshell, they get cut, they dehydrate, and they can't eat your greens.
Oh,
Right? Yeah, beautiful. There you
see,
go.
another little thing I didn't know.
Little
Yeah.
hack.
Well, when you're going through stuff, and I'm often thinking, what can I do with this? And eggshells is one of them. And I knew that there's numerous ways that you can use them. But for composting, I always thought that would be the best way. But I've not yet tried composting, and I want to. I want to do.
Oh, not even outside. You haven't done outdoor composting.
I had a bucket that I was doing last summer outside. This was literally the first time I tried it. I don't know, maybe I didn't have in there what I needed, but it was just starting to reek really bad. And
Okay.
I'm going, I don't think this is supposed to be happening this way.
Yeah. So if it smells bad, it's become anaerobic. So there's too much fuel in there, which is the nitrogen. That's the food scraps. If it ever smells, it's probably too wet. You need to add in some brown material, some dry material. So even shredded paper, if you don't have brown leaves, say in the middle of the summer, you could use shredded paper or cardboard, same materials that you would use for your worm bin.
Okay, I didn't put in enough paper. I bet you that
Yes.
was it. I had some paper in there, but I wasn't putting enough in. See, look at that. Look at all I'm learning in less than 10 minutes.
And this is aerobic process. So that's great. Thank you for saying that it was smelling because that's what people are afraid of, having a worm bin in the house. So a worm bin is aerobic process. Composting and worm composting are aerobic, meaning with oxygen. They should never smell like rotting food. If they smell like rotting food, now it's like a science project. Now it's been the oxygen has been converted to gas. Now it's methane. And so it smells bad. And that's fine. It's just different microbes working. It's not good or bad. We just think it smells, and it does. And we can't breathe gas, neither can the worm. So this is like a built-in mechanism in an indoor composter. If your worm bin ever smells bad, uh-oh, something's happened. Action is required, or you'll lose your worms.
That's fascinating. So,
Yeah.
how big of a container? Well, you said to get a container that fits your space. So, say I have a medium size tote.
Perfect.
And now, is that something you would keep in the main part of your house or in the basement if you have a basement? I mean, where would be the ideal place to keep a composting tote?
Somewhere that you remember to feed the worms. So they're eating half their weight per day. So you're not feeding them daily. They want you to feed them and leave them because they don't like the light and they're not pets. So don't take them out and play with them. They don't like that, right? They get really stressed.
Okay.
If you can tolerate it, right under the kitchen table would be perfect. So then you've got your scraps, you can add them right in, or in the basement, but not on the concrete floor. If you don't have a finished basement, because then the cold will emanate up. There's
Right.
three key elements for successful vermicomposting: temperature, moisture, and airflow. So temperature, I'm bilingual, here we go, 60 to 80 Fahrenheit or 16 to 28 Celsius.
Okay.
You need holes in your bin, so it can't be a sealed bin, otherwise you'll get the smelly conditions. And moisture, so you want about 70, 75% humidity. You don't need a moisture meter. You just can feel like you when once you set up your bedding, you do a squeeze test before you add your worms in. A few drops of water should come out. If no water comes out, add a bit more. And if it's really wet, then add some more dry paper.
Now, can folks, do you have this information like you just shared? Is that on your
Yes.
website?
There's a lovely video, Vermicomposting 101.
Oh,
Yeah,
awesome.
from a long t many, many years ago, but of course it's how you set it up. So yeah, and there's print instructions too for people that would prefer to read.
And that's right on your website.
It's all on my website. My website is 22 years old, so be sure to go there on your desktop or your tablet. It's not small screen friendly.
Okay.
And my husband and I don't have cell phones. That's why we're like, we feel like, oh, our website's fine, but people say, you know, it's not really suitable to scroll on the small
And
screen.
unfortunately, most people use their phones for almost everything now.
Yeah, that's why our phone's not ringing as much anymore.
Your website is kathyscomposters.com.
Yes, Kathy with a
So,
C.
and I'm glad that you shared that. So it's not set up for mobile, folks. So check that out on your tablet or on your laptop or desktop, whichever. But kathyscomposters.com, that's going to be in the show notes as well. But yeah, I'm going to hop on there again. I was looking at it earlier this morning, checking some things out, and I saw that you had, and this is a few years ago, you did a TEDx talk on this very
2013.
topic. So that's exciting stuff. And I'm looking forward to watching that. But you have a plethora of information on your website. What is it something for just the everyday person that might just be hearing this and they're thinking, what in the world are they talking about worms for? Because it's off the beaten path of what I normally do.
Yeah.
So those folks know, and it's intriguing them, you know, to look into it. What's the best way for someone to, I don't know, to start something that maybe they've never thought of it, maybe they've never had a garden or anything, or they want to do their part in compost, but then what in the world do you do with all of the compost when it's done?
Right. So composting by its very nature reduces the volume. So you have less than you put in, which is kind of neat. It's a really great, if people have kids, it's a really great lesson for kids. It's a and when you're in the worm bin, when not in the worm bin, but when you're feeding the worms or setting it up or whatever, you're present. Today we're so fast. We have such a fast environment. We want everything right now. So this forces us to slow down because you can't be on your technology when you're preparing the food or doing all of that and gardening too. So it's really great for the kids. So for somebody that's just delving into this, I would say like do a little bit of research, spend some time on my website looking at some videos. It's really not that scary. It's the fear, it's the worm part that keeps people away from this. You know, just thinking, oh, I got to do such, it sounds this or that. Try it and see, especially with kids, because they're more open to new experiences. And it really is something. I was always fascinated by composting itself, just the whole thing. You put your, I'm in carrot and onion capital. I live in Bradford, which is the carrot and onion capital of Canada. So we have a lot of farms around. And I was like, wow, you add in your carrots and your onions in a composter, you mix it, you add some stuff, you do some stuff. And then over a certain amount of time, it turns into this black gold. Like it's just so beautiful. You can put your hands through it, and then you put it in the garden. It's plant food. So for me, it's just this amazing natural process that is a miracle just to witness.
So
And so
folks
I.
can use that, the end product, for it, say they, like you had mentioned, many of the folks where you're from, they're in apartments and condos, so they don't have outdoor space, but they very well could have indoor plants. So if they have this composting for to fit the size of where they live, they can use that end result and put it in with their indoor plants, right?
Absolutely. I hope they do have indoor plants.
I hope
Even
so
if
too. I think
you
everybody
have
needs
outdoor
them.
plants, have them indoor too. Yes. Bring nature
Absolutely.
in. Yes. And if people are like, oh, I don't have any plants, you know, some people just don't even like plants, or they feel like they don't have a green thumb. It starts with the soil. So if you have good soil, you might be a green thumb, by the way. But it makes a great gift. You know, when I started my business, it was a waste management tool. And I learned early on that people wanted the end product. They might not want to do the process, but they
Right.
want the black gold. So gardeners were coming out of the woodwork. That doesn't
Right.
sound that they sound like mushrooms now. That's funny. I should write that down. You know, gardeners were coming to me because they wanted what I had. And even gardeners aren't necessarily interested in doing the worm composting part,
Right.
because there is that part of like bringing the worms inside. We're not taught that, so we
Right.
have to really overcome that piece. There's a lot of lessons in what I'm doing. If people don't have plants and they don't have a garden, they can easily package that up, and now some of your shopping's done.
There you
Now
go.
you've got some birthday gifts done for your gardening friends. Here's some
Yeah.
worm poo. I love you.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. Now, see, I think it's awesome. Some people might be going, ooh, yuck. Or, oh, worms. I don't want to touch worms. I don't want worms in my house. They're dirty. They're yucky. And I don't think that a lot of folks, we just don't think about it. And it's not a negative comment, I'm saying. We just don't think about it because you're not raised with it. You're not raised to look at how fascinating and exactly what worms are doing for the environment. Bugs in general do for our environment and sustain our environment. Key word there, sustain.
That is key, Kim. This is so important. It's the longer I'm in this, the more important it is because we become so disconnected from nature. Do
Yes.
you remember? I don't know when I remember growing up, and if we went for a car ride, the windshield was covered in insects.
Yeah.
It was gross. It was like,
At dusk time, just before, right before the sun goes down at dusk. Yeah,
Right
covered.
there, like, and you had to, go to the gas station and get the thing
Right.
and always use the squeegee thing. Not so much anymore. There might be the odd one and you get some and it's like, ah, look at that big bugger on there. But it's not like before, and that's a problem.
You're
This is a
right.
problem. This is a problem because those insects, they feed up the chain, the birds and the bats and the other things. Right, they're the pollinators, even though I know the bees, but the bees aren't the only ones. It's really on the microscopic level. So we really need to, again, slow down, look at nature. It's fascinating. It's fascinating for one thing. It's not super fast. You don't flick a switch and oh, boop, it's gone in the carburetor. Or I heard of this composter that supposedly makes compost overnight. Folks, it doesn't. It's a dehydrator. It takes the moisture out and so reduces the moisture, but it does not make compost overnight. Please don't be sold down the river. We're being removed from nature and from our critical mind. We're not thinking anymore. We see something, we see a headline, and we're like, oh, I'm sharing that. Read the whole article, folks, before you decide to share all this stuff. That's all I'm saying. I mean, without going down a rabbit hole of that, because I believe what I bring to the world is hopeful. It's really all of the things, before 2020, we haven't talked about my other offerings, but before 2020, I thought I was a juggler. My working title is Kathy Crawley Laughing Bean Queen. So I had worms, I had sprouts, and I had laughter. And they seem like separate streams. They're all things that I do in my life. This is I live. This I have worms, not here. I'm in my house. I eat sprouts. I grow my own, and I laugh every day. It's just part of my life, and they are three streams of my business. And then 2020, lots of time to think. 2 years, 2 years of thinking time. I realized that my three offerings are sustainable solutions for a wonderful life. We're growing our own food, we're managing the scraps. So we can feel good about that because food scraps are one of the main contributors to climate change. Because as that food's when it's smelling, when we that rotting food, that's contributing to the methane is contributing to the global warming. So if we can take that methane and not create the methane, turn it into compost instead, now we have to purchase less fertilizer, which means we're less transporting less. We're making it on site. There's so many streams. I mean, I could be here for 3 hours talking about this.
Is there a time frame? So say I have a tote, medium-sized tote again, and I've got this going in my house. What's the time frame for to have some sort of compost that I could use and just save my house plants?
Yeah, as a guideline, it's about 3 to 5 months from setup to harvest.
Okay.
And it's a lot of factors, right? The temperature, moisture, airflow, and then what you're adding in. So, for example, lettuce and spinach will break down faster than cabbage
Okay.
or turnip or your root vegetables. So, depending what you're putting in, that will d also determine. And then also how many worms you have and so many
Right.
factors.
Is there a certain number of worms per like cubic square feet of area that's optimal?
Yes. Oh, I love that you put it that way. Yes. The guideline is a pound of worms per square foot of surface.
Where would one get a pound of worms?
Oh, so I don't ship to the States, but there are lots of red wiggler growers in the States. You're looking at for the warmer states have large worm farms.
Okay.
California, Florida, Texas, Georgia,
So you're
all
looking
and
for red wiggler, red, I don't know why I can't say that easily. Red wigglers, those are the optimum kind of worms that you want for your
They
own
are.
do-it-yourself composter.
Yes.
Okay. So for those in the States that are listening right now, Google it. You'll probably find someone somewhere where you can find them. But in Ontario or in Canada, they can get them directly from you, right? Through your
Yes,
website.
I do ship across Canada. I am able to ship service Canada.
Okay,
Yes.
awesome. And so is there another type of worm that is good? So for whatever reason, maybe someone can't get a red wiggler. I don't know why I can't say it. Is there any other types of worms that might be that would be good for that purpose? And can you say I have can you have two different kinds of worms in your bucket?
Can too. Yes. So European night crawlers, red wigglers, European, African night crawlers, and Peryonyx are the kind of the four that have been identified.
Okay. And you can have them
And
when
you can have them together.
they can cohabitate.
They can live together, but they don't interbreed. So
Okay.
you just have more biodiversity. And, you know, sometimes the reds are more durable or flexible, is that the word? Adaptable to the environment. Sometimes the Euros are, and the Euros are a bit of a bigger worm. They're in size between the dew worm and the red wiggler in size. So somebody might use the European night crawler for a composting worm and a bait worm if somebody was looking to go, you know, to use it for fishing as well.
Okay, interesting stuff. Interesting
Right?
stuff.
So
So we're going to
beautiful.
get ready to wrap this up. This time went really fast. Where can folks find out more about you and what it is, all the fantastic stuff that you're doing? Share with the listeners where they can find you at.
So, yeah, my worm website is kathyscomposters.com. You might have noticed Kim and I've been laughing a bit. I'm a laughter yoga teacher, so I have a free laughter club every Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. It's free. It's 30 minutes of super fun self-care. I incorporate tapping, brain gym, qigong. Laughter goes with everything. It is the best medicine, but you got to take the dose. Yeah, come and check it out. Come experience the magic of laughing for the health of it. It's not doing yoga and laughing, it's laughing as an exercise. Super fun. Yeah, so that information is at my laughter page. It's kathysclub.com. And yeah, come
And you
I
have
mean,
kathysprouters.com as well.
so sprouts are nature's original fast food. Like grow your own. You can buy them, but they're expensive and they're already starting to decay when you
Okay.
buy them. So, and you got to eat them really fast. So grow your own, then you're in charge of the freshness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so check that out too. That's my health plan. If we had more time, I'd talk about that. But I've been eating sprouts for 22 years. I met the gentleman that designed that sprouter that I sell at my very first event in 2002, exhibiting with my
Oh,
worms.
how awesome. Kathy, this has been so fascinating and truly educational. I am so glad that I had you on, and I would love to have you on again sometime that we can go into more detail on some of the other stuff, especially I want to learn more about the sprouts too. So I'm gonna have to have you back on and talk about nothing but sprouts.
I accept.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being my guest. Now I ask all of my guests before we wrap up to toss out a nugget of hope for the listeners, something that they can tuck away and carry with them throughout the rest of the day.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I think everything I offer is hopeful.
I agree.
My nugget of hope is if you have an idea, run with it. Go do it because the world needs you. And ask for help. You don't need to do it alone. There's people that want to help you, but they don't know that you need help. So just ask. It's no for sure unless you ask.
That is an awesome nugget of hope. Thank you
Thank
for
you.
sharing that. And I hope that you folks out there listening, I hope you caught that. Hope you caught that and tucked it away in your pocket for the rest of the day. And then you know what? Share that with others as well. Share this episode with others. All kinds of good educational stuff in here for people to sink their teeth into and think about and maybe even do in your own homes. Kathy, thank you so much once again for being my guest on Let Fear Bounce. This has been a true pleasure.
Thank you, Kim.
Everybody out there, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Let Fear Bounce. This is Kim Langling, your host. Everybody be well, stay well, and be blessed. And that is a wrap, my fearless friends. Thanks for bouncing along with me on another episode of Let Fear Bounce. I hope you're feeling a bit motivated and ready to take on any challenge that might come your way in the coming days. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Let Fear Bounce. Tune in each week for your dose of inspiration from my amazing guests from all over the world. So until next time, keep bouncing forward and stay fearless, my friends. Everybody be well, stay well, and above all, be blessed.